Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett and today we are talking our Round 5 waiver wire pickups and a few other shenanigans to go through it. And as always, we welcome you, Stevie Fizz. How you doing, pal?
I'm doing okay, Jono. I've actually recovered from the attempted brainwashing by the Richmond members. I went to the football, the barn burner between Richmond and Brisbane on, Saturday. And brave the cold. And I got a lesson from the, I was sitting in the members, I was using your brother's ticket and got to hear all sorts of wonderful things like how Camden McIntosh is the best winger in the game and Nankervis is just a fantastic ruckman, possibly top five. Jacob Townsend is top five kick for goal in the league. Interesting thing though, as all this sort of kerfuffle was being said, no one had many pleasant words to say about Brandon Ellis, so at least the whole world is on the We Hate Brandon Ellis train. But it was an interesting day and I was quite surprised that there's a number of weapons down in the members section for Richmond, including one man walking around in a tank top despite the fact it was about 8 degrees and pissing down rain.
And he's back from his cracking the sads last week after getting done by yours truly in the Keeper League. We welcome you, Staceman. Welcome back, but it looks like you're going to get a bit of revenge on me this week.
Well, I will say, Jono, I was on a self-administered ban from the show, and I vowed not to return until I had a win in the Keeper League. But it's fair to say that I actually wanted to come back before August. So I'm actually using a de facto case that I'm actually beating Archie in the Podcasters League this week. So there's some sort of little bit of respect to come back. But look, it's been a challenging year in the Listener League Keeper for me. You started very poorly, 0-4. So if you hadn't noticed by all the emails you've been getting, gentlemen, I've been rebuilding. So I set up a plan for my list and I think I've got one more piece to go and I'm done. But I'm ready to win the premiership in 2019.
What 30-year-old are you trading in this week?
There'll be only one 30-plus-year-old that ends up in my team.
There you go.
I was very interested, and I got to thank you, Statesman, because my captain option, you traded in him and then he subsequently did his hamstring, the little master, so I'm not sure what you're building for. What kind of pension discount you get on these trades, that's fine.
No, it was take the risky ones out, but I also wanted some trade bait. But I was actually going after Blake Akers with Gary Ablett, but then actually only 24 hours after I said, oh, look, I'll wait one more week, he does his hammy, so that's my own fault. But look, he's still, for someone that's going to try and win a premiership, because he's got a 3-year contract at Geelong, he'll be quite a sneaky little option for a trade somewhere along the way for someone that wants to put the last little piece together. Because not too many that can score like Gary Ablett.
Certainly aren't. But listeners, we have a special welcome. We have two new members to the Draft Doctors team. We've recruited a couple of writers for the website, meaning that an article is going to drop each and every day, Monday to Friday now. So we welcome to the team Sam Porter, who is going to be doing our dual position watch article each week. And you can find him on Twitter at stporter15. And also Cameron Downing, he's going to be doing the weekly injury report and the ramifications of what players, who's going to help and what not as well. And you can find him on Twitter as well, at the Potato Bake, all one word. Speaking of...
Sensational handle.
And speaking of injuries, there's been quite a few this week, starting off with Caleb Marchbank, did his ankle... on Saturday night, and Mark Murphy was a late out to that game, a very late out. I think walking to the coin toss and he rolled his ankle, so he was out for the game. Still waiting on an assessment there. Cyril Rioli has done a medial ligament, so he's going to be out for an extended period of time. He's just come back into that team as well, Cyril, so Bruce is going to be very devastated about that one. Paul Puopolo, looks like he's done a pretty bad ham bone. He grabbed that straight away and just walked straight off the ground in that one, so he's going to miss a lot of time there. The new boy, Rowan Marshall from St Kilda, didn't come back on after halftime. He got a slight bump to the noggin from Jack Billings, so just a bit of precaution there for the concussion. But the biggest and the scariest one was Dylan Roberton. He was sitting off the back of the square at the centre bounce, and as he was walking in, he just collapsed and fainted on the ground. And Jack Nunes ran to him straight away, and he's been taken to the Epworth Hospital for scans there, so... not good for Dylan Roberton and the owners, because he was doing okay. And if you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we're at The Draft Doctors and at Statesman33. We have the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au, and check out the Facebook, just search The Draft Doctors there. But we're going to kick it off with our top five this week, just the top five things we've noticed throughout the week. And Steve, why don't you kick us off?
Yeah, so... first things first, I think the hot topic in the football media this week is going to be Carlton after just a schlacking down there in the Apple Isle. And I mentioned at the start of the year how worried I was about their ball movement, and it's fair to say it's not been great without Doherty and Gibbs. But what's really struck me is how bad the defence has gone. Like, it's just, wow, really, really just everyone's scoring on them. We just saw Benny Brown kick about a million goals. And the matchup plays, like the biggest outlier matchup plays, aside from it looks like Rucks against Geelong is going to hold down the fort. I mean, they're making Tom Hickey look good, for Christ's sake. It is actually key forwards and midfield forwards against Carlton. Like, and it's like 30 something points above the average. Unbelievable. So, I mean, I'm picking up forwards every opportunity I can get to play against Carlton. I think we even mentioned Ben Brown. He was only 62% owned. Can you imagine picking up Ben Brown and just dropping 150 burger on your opponent? Thank you very much. Unbelievable. And I'm going to throw a question out to you guys. What the hell do you do if you're a Tom Rockliffe owner?
Oh. he's bad enough to pull, but with a name like Tom Rockliffe, you can't pull him, can you?
You got to hold him.
You just got to hold him, and hopefully he turns the corner. But you can't. He's just on the bench.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
I pitched an offer for him in our league this week and got rejected. Didn't think it was unfair, but if I had have got it, he would have been on the field, and I wouldn't have been very happy about it. I've got to be honest. But it looks horrendous.
I was watching a bit of the game today, and I actually thought he might have been a late out, and just didn't even see him out there. Atrocious for the fantasy pig.
I think if someone actually wants to pay some sort of value for him, I've got no problem selling him, to be honest.
Like, oh, absolutely.
I agree that you're probably best off just putting him on the bench and holding, but doesn't look good. I think we mentioned last week though it might have been 2 weeks ago to sell the chat, and he's just plonked forward. Doesn't look good at all. If you were one of the people who drafted Robbie Gray thinking he'd get back to the midfield minutes, Jono, I know you did. The fingers are going up in the air. Just shove him up your clacker, mate. no, he's back through the middle, and it's all going well for Robbie Gray. But yeah, Chad, I think Chad's a good sell. The name's still... We saw he got traded in our league of record, Jono, for Beams, I think. So I think that's pretty good value.
I think so.
Another thing I noticed, the Brody Grundy splits. Might be a thing of the past.
When did Bucks learn how to coach? That's what I want to know.
It's just devastating to see. I've got 800 bucks out t-shirts sitting in my lounge room. I'm really going to need a turn of form, because that hashtag has just fallen off the cliff.
You'll be able to trade them for Tom Rockliffe.
Rockliffe out shirts.
Yeah.
Or just the shirts.
Just the shirts.
Well, which one's going to go to turn in my favour? Yeah. Rockliffe or Bucks?
Well, no, it's definitely Bucks, because a coach never gets superannuation. It is actually a case of those shirts will become valuable at some stage. It just means you're going to be holding them for longer.
That's a good point. But yeah, the splits look blown up. Cox just doesn't. And I know he's still getting a little bit of ruck time, but it's just minimal, just absolutely minimal. I think they realise Brody Grundy's not a forward and just let him run around. He's a midfielder. Still side bottom. If you drafted him, he's just playing pure guts. Like, he's in every centre bounce at every stoppage. He's going to return great value because he doesn't usually get that sort of role. But their game style change is just unbelievable. The way they're just hitting up targets left, right, and centre, the 30-metre kicks, and if they keep it up, they're looking good, I'll put it that way. GWS, another 115 marks. They're the highest scoring fantasy team going around. But you can also start your rucks against them pretty easily because everyone's doing damage there. But the holding on to the ball is really noticeable. They're just breaking teams down. So it should be good fantasy scoring. Ryan Griffin actually got on the park, played a lot of forward time, deep forward. Has a weird little thing going on at the back of his head. I'm not sure what the situation with that is. Tarantino, just another pure midfield game. Anyone bagging him out after last week, just jump in the ocean, quite frankly. And Whitfield, getting a bit of attention. What do you
Certainly
think about
called
that?
It a couple of weeks ago, I think.
And doesn't like it, so he'll be getting a lot of attention. But Tarantino, it's fair to say that he's back because Kelly was out.
Yeah.
So he actually got moved up forward. Hopper came in, so actually changed the mix a little bit because Tim can actually play up forward and Hopper really can't. He's more of the inside. But soon as Kelly was out, then Tarantino got a run again and back in the movies.
But it's going to be interesting because I've got him actually in our league and I just look at the matchups they've got and I'm pretty sure that he's going to be able to score 85 for the next couple of months. So it's sort of that I don't think you're going to actually get 100 value on him if you try to sell him at the moment. I think you're better off just holding and trying to get the 80-something scores and just being happy with it.
Oh, you should be happy with it.
Yeah. And North, looking forward to Tom Mitchell versus Ben Jacobs next week. That's going to be
shut down by Nathan Jones this week. So,
or will he go to a mirror after today?
No, I don't know. That'll be interesting. That'll be interesting.
There'll be a point where they change and say who's more damaging, and a mirror is more damaging.
It'll be interesting though. It'll be very interesting. If you're Todd Goldstein owner, I'd try flip him. But it's really interesting. I thought just. One thing I noticed this week is just how much pace matters. Like, it looks like North have actually got some pace in their team. They were always a really well-structured team, but they've got some pace. Collingwood have got some pace with Stevenson and Murray, and just how much it can open the game up for you. It's such a key.
Whereas it's completely opposite with St Kilda, where they're no pace at all.
Well, no.
What are your top five things you notice there, Statesman?
Well, as we all know, the game changes. Strategy is success-based, so doing the same thing for any sustained period is simply falling behind the pack. Only 9 months ago, we were remarking how well the rebound defenders were going, so the marking rebound defenders, and they're all setting new records. So you look at Hibbard, Robinson, Burton, Doherty, McGovern, Blakely, Hurley all had their career best seasons in regards to AFL fantasy scoring and all set their highest ever score. Sicily and Ryan chipped in with late runs at the end of the year and they become hot players because of that. Well, the game's changed again. Teams are now ensuring that those players have less influence on the game. So there's a lot of forward pressure, a lot of changing the way they actually enter inside 50, which gives the rebound marking defenders a chance out. Yes, there'll be occasional big score against a lower side. And we saw that from McGovern over the weekend where Gold Coast, who had stayed over there for a week or so, struggled to actually keep the pace of the game. And McGovern had a night out. I think he tunned up. But that is it, gentlemen. It is over. The reign of the rebounding defenders as big level fantasy scoring is over. Of course, the game will change again. They might come back into vogue, but they're definitely over. This is why Hibbard's struggling. This is why I think you'll find Hurley's down about an average of 13 points a game. Ryan's down 20 points a game. Blakely's down 20 points a game. So you actually see right across the board. So people are paying big for Doherty right now, trading in, getting ready for next year. Well, he's going from 120 average, take away the ACL, to probably 100. You have the ACL, he's probably going to be an 85 averager next year because that role has changed. And they're making a lot of attention to it. So it's a remarkable change in the game, but that's what happens all the time. And, of course, the club that led the way there is Richmond. No comments, gentlemen. Fine.
Well, I don't know. I think it's interesting because, like what you said, like it seems like there's going to be... I disagree to a point. Like, I don't think anyone's going to be setting the huge bar because I think there's actually so many rebounding defenders. Like, it seems like each team has more like three of these players.
They're running defenders now. They're no longer the one out. So the Dockertys of this world are going to not be at footy clubs. They're not going to have those massive breakout years. So yeah. Last year was just a one-of-a-kind for those types of players, and the clubs have cracked down and saw the influence that they had on the oppo.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you look at... Fremantle, and you mentioned Ryan. Well, now there's Wilson and Blakely, and they're all sharing it. You look at Collingwood, and there's Howe, there's Scharenberg, there's Langdon. You look at West Coast, there's Yo, there's Hearn, there's McGovern. So there's a number of them doing it. Like, they can't all score 120 all the time. So I'm just... Like, I agree that no one's going to be might not be the outlier top dog, but, like, I think a number of them are just going to be on a week-to-week basis up, down...
And I think you'll find that the result of many of them doing it is because the oppo has changed the way they allow them to do it.
Mm.
So it's actually a game change that's created this scoring differential. So the second one was spending a week in Perth to not work for Gold Coast or for any of their scorers. So you only have to look at the great man, Mr. Holman, who's been a value pick. All would have grabbed him from the waiver wire or... last round in a couple of leagues, and I'm so glad I gave him to We Got Big Cox last week. It was a joyful experience watching him score 29 on his field. the travel and time away could take its toll on the Gold Coast as well. So you might actually see some of the older heads actually coming back into this team and some of the kids having a rest, because it's not until June do they actually get on Metricon Stadium. So there's a fair bit of travel ahead, and look, it's taken its toll. We saw it against West Coast. So I think you'll actually see some older heads coming back into that team.
Barlow. Please be Michael Barlow.
Beautiful. Thirdly, thank you to Monty for finally lifting the curse. The Zach is back. I do have a question. Was it concussion, or was this partly role defined?
I think the tag and the concussion played hand in hand, I think, because he was tagged 3 out of the 4 games.
The difference I recognise from Essendon's match this weekend was Stringer was forward, Hooker was back, and Zach started actually in the midfield. So started in the guts. Now that's a major change.
Lunch meat.
But Zach also got attention.
Okay.
So he got attention from Ebert, and then also got attention from the bloke you never saw around. His name, Piglet, Rockcliffe, that's him. We've forgotten him so quickly, haven't we? So he was tagged and still managed 120. So thank you for lifting the curse, Monty. Much appreciated.
Well, I think what happened there is Monty actually took a victory lap on Twitter, which well-deserved. Well-deserved victory lap. We're all entitled to a victory lap. Jesse Hogan, that victory lap is still going, mind you. I'm actually recording this on the run.
Oh, sorry, one quarter.
But, that's all it takes, buddy. That's
all he needs.
I think the victory. I will say
Archie Wishy played more than one quarter this week. He brought in this week. This is a salary cap, hashtag ran. But he did bring in Jared Lyons, who pumped him 76, and then Jess Hogan. So swapped two premiums for two other premiums, and they well underperformed.
Don't you hold your premiums in a salary cap? Isn't that one of the mantras?
Josh Kelly was one of them. So to be fair, he was out. Fair, he was out. So Jess Hogan, sorry, victory lap Monty.
Yeah, no, just I think that maybe that's why it was lifted. I think he was entitled. People got into him though. He's entitled to take a goddamn victory lap though.
I agree.
Yeah.
Even though he's wrong.
Well, whatever. <That's fine.
laughs> No, it's not true. He deserves it. He did. It's a hard one because how can we pick? How can we say that Doherty was going to get a knee injury?
No, you can't, so but he did say he'd get attention and he'd struggle. And, well, you can go, well, maybe it was a concussion. Well, maybe it's it.
Well, I think it's got partly to do with the role as well. I actually think John Worsfold did a rethink over the week and actually come up to say, well, Carl Hooker's for our balance is better at defence. Stringer is better forward than he is a midfielder. Everyone else in the world could have told him that. But you know coaches are stubborn. And he actually got it right, and his players played well enough to give him the win, and a good win. They were top of the table, Port. The next one you sort of mentioned, Steve, which was rucks. So one of them seems to be the answer now. Again, this is the change of structure. And the club's going for one who is an extra midfielder. They're the ones moving forward very, very quickly. And if you haven't got the extra midfielder, you're in trouble, a.k.a. Port Adelaide, because that's what's happening right now for them. Grundy, Steph and Maxi seem to be the best suited to the new style, and they're scoring that way. But if you have a look at those gentlemen, and you should also have a look at Big Boy McAvoy as well, they've all trimmed down. They're all runners. They've moved to the level of being more of an extra midfielder than a ruckman. So the tap ruckman, this is why Zach Smith is probably dropped off the radar a little bit. He's actually more of a tap ruckman than he is anything else.
No, I disagree with that. He's pretty athletic himself, Zach Smith. He's always been able to cover the ground.
He's been able to cover the ground, but he's never played as the extra midfielder. He's never 25 to 30 possession on baller, and that's the ones which is the old Coxie way. That's what Coxie did. So Mummy retired from the game right at the right time. The time for the dinosaurs is over, and the time for the tap ruckman is over right now.
Yeah, well, I think it was when I did a study at the start of last year, and that there was only X amount of. I think there was only three ruckmen who had a score build with less than 30% of their hitouts. Or less than 30% of their score were actually hitouts, and it was Cruiser, Grundy, and Steph. Now, they're not huge guys, but they get around so easily. So that could be something, but there are some piss poor ruck divisions going out there, Statesman. Yep. So.
Oh, absolutely. And last but not least is a question. What's happened to our premiums? There's so many underperforming premiums to start this year. It is almost ridiculous. I can't remember a season starting like this. And we'd all be feeling it. And Steve, I look at your keeper list and I go straight away, Zorko.
Yeah, well, that's not unexpected. I had Zorko pretty low in the redraft rankings.
But averaging 70s?
Yeah, but he's never been a high possession getter. So if he's not getting tackles or kicking goals, where's his score? And we'll talk about that in one of my trade out options. But they're just getting smashed. And I think those purely inside players, they're just getting caught out at the start of the season as usual with the speed of the game. Well, you look at guys like Polak who are just cutting it up. Blake Akers cutting it up. That's not going to continue.
Ebert, Gaff, those types.
And continue on from your talk of rucks there, Statesman. You forgot to mention Timmy English. If he's floating around in any of your keeper leagues, I would be hot to trot to grab him. He, as you said, he's that extra midfielder. only 19 years of age still, so still got a lot to work on. But he's not only that tap ruckman, he's got a great marking ability, contested mark like your big boy McAvoy, can go forward and kick goals. So they did use him in the transition play on the weekend, the Bulldogs. So hopefully Luke Beveridge has learned how to coach a little bit more and just play that one ruckman. But you'd think one of the either Tom Boyd or Jordan Ruffhead will come in on the weekend. They both had pretty good games in the VFL. Ruffy had about 38 hitouts. Boyd had 20 and 5 goals. So I think they'd be looking for a tall defence next week, especially going up against the two towers of McCarthy and Tabernacle over in Perth there. So, or they might just leave it as that mobile quick midfield. Who knows? But
can I just jump in, John? Like, looking at the Bulldogs stats, it's unbelievable because we looked at how many marks they were allowing through the first part of the season. They were allowing over 120 marks each of the first 2 weeks. And as a consequence, they're allowing a lot of marks inside 50. They're still allowing a good percentage of their marks inside 50, but they've chopped out 40 marks a game. Like, their pressure is just, you know, double. Like, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it was good for the first quarter and a half, and then they just sort of faded against the Swans. Don't know if the Swans changed it up, but they even won the inside 50 count, the Bulldogs, by a good margin. So by 20.
Like, I just wonder if they bring in talls when the speed's obviously working.
I think with their defence so depleted of tools, that one extra, either that Ruffhead who can be the swingman defender slash ruckman, which every team has, like we've seen Dixon and Westhoff share the rucking duty, so something like that could work, I think, for the Bulldogs. You mentioned Zach Smith. I think he's rooted Chris Scott's wife or something, because we saw him averaging so well last year, average over the ton in Supercoach and close to 100 in AFL Fantasy, but he has not had a look in at all. It could be due to what Stason said, where they're just using the extra midfielder ruckman in Stanley and Blixarves, who we know is the elite runner, but I'd be getting Zach Smith in there because they are getting absolutely towered up at the contest. But having said that, the Geelong midfield have been sharking a lot of the hitouts there, but they did only play St Kilda and Tom Hickey, so not too much to worry about on that one. Be interesting. Well, they're playing Port Adelaide next week, so again another team with no ruckman, so Zach Smith might not even get a game. Jesse Hogan, he is a star, as you said, Steve, had the 13 possessions in the first quarter, but then it was just the same old D's yet again. Jesse Hogan, it seemed he could go up the ground whenever he felt like it. It wasn't sort of a coaching directive. Now, I'm wondering when Tommy McDonald comes back in, is he going to be playing more up the ground, or you think he'll switch it out with Petraka spending mid forward time, Steve?
Oh, I would have thought Tom McDonald was the deeper option. He's the big stand there and clunk it type. You let Jesse run around, that's his go.
Fair enough.
Well, I hope so.
Hey, it's good for my home league. I'm loving Jesse at the moment. The Hawks, they still got a star-studded lineup, even able to afford Ryan Burton, who was the darling last year. When players went down, they all stood up. We saw Shields, Bruce, all step up and kick goals and apply the pressure. Even when Tommy Mitchell is getting the hard tag from Nathan Jones, the midfield, they've got class all over that ground. So one to watch for the Hawks. If you're looking for a bit of fantasy value, I know I've got one or so in the waiver wire pickups for this week, so pretty interested in that. And the Crows, they are missing the Crouch brothers like no tomorrow. We have spoken about Richie Douglas and Cam Ellis-Yolman as those inside midfielders, but you can't beat the polish of the Crouch boys. They're hard at it at the cold face, and they got smashed by Collingwood on Friday night in exactly that.
Hope if their Rory Sloane could lay a tackle.
Well,
or even run.
Issues.
Yeah, well, they'll double team him, triple team him, just stopped his influence there, Rory Sloane on the weekend. So, and Gibbs, well, he was just seagulling out the back. But moving on now to our waiver wire pickups. And when we talk about our waiver wire pickups, we use the ultimate footy, 65% or less. And I'm going to kick it off with my number one this week. It's actually Luke Bruce, 54% ownership. Got a cushy couple of weeks coming up in the Ruse and the Saints in the next two weeks. You've got Poppy and Cyril down for long-term injuries, so he'll be that small forward there, applying the pressure and kicking goals. Luke Bruce at 54%. Dean Kent, 41% as well. He's been playing that smallish forward type role as well. Kicked another three goals today, laid six or seven tackles. Really liking what he's been doing in that Melbourne forward line. One of the few can hold his head high. He's played a couple of good games now, so you think he'll stay in there as well. Three goals in, I think it was the first quarter, and then went quiet after that. We've talked about the Blues being easy targets. Now, most people have JJK or Darling, but Jamie Cripps is there on the waiver wire pickup. 31% ownership. He kicked four snags on the weekend. And get this, guys, he's averaged 98 in Supercoach and 88 in AFL Fantasy the last three times he's played the Blues. So grab Jamie Cripps. He's in plenty of leagues there as well. I've been liking what Matty De Boer's been doing for the GWS. In 42% of teams, he's got a high time on ground, does run through the midfield. His pressure in the forward line's good, laying tackles and able to kick a few snags. So if you're looking for a forward, pick up Matty De Boer. And my last one with a decimated defence is Aaron Mullett, your boy Steve, at 58% of ownership. That ball is going to be coming in quite a fair bit for the rest of the season, especially with injuries to Marchbank and Doherty. Wiedering's just the ghost of himself, so looks like it's going to fall on Aaron Mullett to lead that defence.
Oh, that's what you want Aaron Mullett doing, leading a defence. Leadership written all over him.
What have you got there for your waiver pickup, Steve?
Well, I'm actually going to go full Jono, and my first two are slightly over the rate with Jacob Hopper at 69, very nice number, and Daniel Rich is only in 67%.
Really?
Team, so I thought I'd mention that. My top one's actually Reece Conker, as vomit-worthy as that is. Listed as a defender, only owned in 33% of teams, but he's had 24 and 26 touches the last couple of weeks, basically playing defense and wing. Scored you the ton this week. I know no one likes Reece Conker, but the numbers don't lie. I know they play Brisbane, but, you know, 20 touches back-to-back. I think they have a tough fish matchup this week, but I think their draw is kind of...
They got the D's this week on Anzac Eve.
Yeah, so the D's match, and then I think the draw's kind of open after that. I agree with Jamie Cripps. I had him. They've got the
Blues,
the Carlton matchup, yeah, and Lacroix, I think, is under the microscope. So,
not sure if he was, I would have had him
for the by the MRP or MRO. Or whatever. Okay. It's called. Matt Kennedy, I've got only 51% of teams. Scored you the 88 dream team. We know he got injured round one, so might be coming back. But he should just have pure midfield time. Played 88% or 85% game time, so that's pretty good. A forward for you, I've got Aaron Young, only 52% owned. He's got the Brisbane matchup, so a little bit up and down, but that's a pretty good matchup for a general forward. We just saw Castagna go full ham, and Ben Ainsworth may miss. Dougal Howard, listed as a defender, only in 10% of teams, playing as the ruckman for Port this week. And they're up against the Cats, which is a pretty handy matchup for rucks, as Tom Hickey found out today, as he scored okay. Forward defender, Tom McDonald, if he can hold off a month, he's only in 65% of teams. I know some insane owners in our league drafted him and are holding him for whatever reason. Last one, just a defender, Harry Morrison, 29% ownership for the Hawks, with Grant Birchall 4 or 5 years away. He might be a nice little option for you there. Do you think, like Bruce, that was a great pick. I didn't even look at him. I thought his ownership would be too high. But
that's what I thought too.
Yeah. I know De Boer scored all right, but do you think he goes out of the team? Or is he just good enough to stay in?
I think he's good enough to stay in. They like his pressure.
Mm. Interesting.
And for the listeners wondering about Michael Barlow going to that Gold Coast team in the NEFL, he just had a lazy 46 disposals, 8 marks and 6 tackles. So pretty sure Stewie Jill would be happy about that. Statesman, who have you got there for your waiver wire pickups?
just one to add on, gentlemen, and I'm surprised he's not in more teams. Only 55% owned. Zach Fisher for Carlton. Got absolutely hammered this weekend, that club, but he still was presentable, averaging 76. So as a forward, he's on most people's field in a 10-team league. So Zach Fisher, rate him highly. He's going to be a very good player, and he'll continue to get games because he shows a bit of class.
And if you want to believe in the hype, you've got Chris Maston floating around in only 45% of teams.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Someone told us how bad Chris... I'd sent out the tweet, your best ability is availability. We always spruik that. And someone said, I'll never roster Chris Maston. And bang!
Just tons coming out of his ass.
Just drops a ton on you.
If you really are liking the show, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher and SoundCloud, as well as Podbean and Pod Paradise and a few others as well. Go onto iTunes, hit the 5-star like button, and if you've got a couple of minutes, do give us a review. It only takes a couple of minutes of your time, and it really helps out our brand. So, Steve, we're talking trades this week. What have you got on your mind?
Well, I've got a big name, gentlemen, a very, very big name. Well, he's not even a name. He's just initials, and that is JPK. I'm looking to trade in JPK. Coming off a horrible game, only scored you the 40-odd in whatever format you're in. But he's been a super player over the journey, and we know he's a second-half player. Okay, he generally does his best work after round 8. That is his splits. Well, that's what happens. So he's only had the 2 Dream Team tons and the 1 Supercoach ton through the first four weeks. Played against the Bulldogs on the weekend. They are his worst averaging team, like over the journey by about 10 points. Doesn't get it done against the Bulldogs. Maybe it's a quick team, whatever. But I think he is a fantastic buy candidate. You will get him at a low rate. He was never in the going in the first 2 rounds this year in any leagues. I think he's a great buy. We're a little bit removed from the draft, so it might not cost you the world. But gentlemen, to get some quality, you've got to give a bit of quality. And I'm still looking to trade out lunch meat. I'm terrified of this man's score build. The fact that he's playing through the midfield every week and can only get 20 touches. If he doesn't tackle, the score's nothing. Like that's how he's building his score. It's like 8 tackles a week. He had 11 today. So I can't believe that he's not finding the ball, especially with Zach Merritt struggling. That's shocking to me. I find it really hard that he's going to sustain the tackle numbers. So I think he's a good guy to sell. The fact that the injury thing is always hanging over his head. I've got him in our home league, Jono, and I've been looking at deals to try flip him. I think he's a perfect candidate to sell, especially with so many forwards scoring well. It's such a low position of importance. I'm happy to sell lunch meat.
And moving on to the Statesman Skippers for the week.
Yes, of course, we try to cover people that don't have Danger Titch because only one person in our leagues actually has those players. So we try and look for something in the loophole, and then we'll look at a Captain Risky. And of course, each Thursday and or Friday, an article comes out that'll cover the best gun and also Captain Risky for each of the games. So hopefully we cover someone in your team because it effectively means we cover a total of 18 players. So hopefully someone in yours. So this week, the loophole, which I will say, seeing the round goes to Wednesday, the loophole might go through to Monday, but we'll just concentrate on the Friday night game, being Sydney and Adelaide. And let's face fact, the midfielders ran riot against Adelaide last week. Even Adam Treloar got 36 possessions. that doubled his stat tally for the year. There's no Crouches. There's really 2 Crouches, but there is none at the moment. And an injured Sloan, as we all saw. It'll be interesting to see whether he plays again this weekend. So they'll do some real soul-searching, which actually can mean a correction in effort. So you can see a lift. You saw that with the Western Bulldogs, but it took them 2 rounds to sort of re-trigger to switch on. But sometimes you just have to deal with what's coming. Quality sides, just put through the pain, get through it, and wait till you restock when your midfield start playing some weaker opposition and go. And I think that's what will happen this week. I think Sydney have got a fair chance, the way that they're playing, to run all over the top of them. If Collingwood can, then I reckon Sydney can. So I reckon Parker and Heaney could have a field day. They're the two players who will actually play through the midfield but also spend time up forward, so they'll get it on the scoreboard as well as get their midfield time and rack up the stats. So if you've got either of those, I'll be putting the big V on them and loopholing them. Last week, we went Captain Risky, did not work. Our main one was Brody Grundy on the Friday night. Certainly worked. I think you VC'd him against me, Steve, to be honest, and gave me a fair old touch-up in that match-up. Captain Risky was actually the big C at Port Adelaide because I thought he would play a fair bit in the ruck. He didn't do so. My Captain Risky, again, is Risky for next week, and that's Patrick Cripps, the man that's been getting the tag. And the reason why I'm backing him in as the Risky option is he has been tagged for the last couple of weeks, but now he's up against West Coast at the G. West Coast aren't spending time on the main midfielder of the opposition, and I reckon their form right now is fool's gold. And Cripps might just be able to get hold of them on the G. West Coast have got to prove something. They haven't for a long, long time. I reckon Cripps will go crazy.
It's interesting. What about if, let's say...
Hutchings.
Yeah, Hutchings comes in. Like, does that raise the flag?
Yeah, if he's named, he's coming in for a reason, isn't he?
Mm. Yeah.
They did that 2 weeks ago, but their actual form... There was a difference from when they went defensive. They lost. They went attack. They won.
Man, I just look at Cripps as almost a sell for me. Like, he just looks like he's about to rip someone's head off.
I reckon he's got two or three really big weeks ahead of him.
Yeah.
He's gone through the tough patch, and Tom Mitchell's gone through the tough patch right now. Mm-hmm. So he got touched up today, and his touched up is still scored an 84. And he's got Benny Jacobs coming at him next week.
Very good.
Mm. And just to finish it off, if you haven't noticed, Ultimate Footy did release their positional changes through the week. I must say it was pretty vanilla. A lot of people expecting Lachie Whitfield to get that defender status. It looks like they're going to be holding off on that for a few more weeks just yet.
But I thought Goddard was going to get it too.
Yeah.
There's a lot that we thought was going to happen, but just running through them, David McKay added defender status. Christian Salem got midfield. Lockie Murphy, not even playing forward status. Tim O'Brien, defender status. Don't think he even has played defense all year. Will Hoskin-Elliott added forward status. There's a bit of interest in that one. I don't mind it at all. Your boy
Only because you own him in a couple of your leagues.
Damn straight.
Self-interest Jono.
Well, Lunchmeat got midfield status. Not that you're going to play him through the midfield. Alex Sexton added forward status. Billings added midfield. And Lockie Fogarty added forward status. So, as we said, pretty vanilla. So we'll have to wait to, was it round six, to see what the Ultimate Footy guys come up with and the positional changes.
So did they give Jake Stringer midfield status?
No.
Oh.
That was Lunchmeat.
So Champion Data understand football better than John Worsfold does.
good. It's just a principle thing.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I have to register a possession in the midfield to get the midfield status.
Yeah. Doesn't matter where you spend the time, it's where you get your possessions. Fair enough.
But what Scotty Lysette didn't get the forward status. It's an interesting one. I suppose Lob hasn't played enough to get ruck status yet.
No, he's already got it in Ultimate.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. There you go. So, yeah, a few there that didn't come through, but I'm sure we'll see them in 3 weeks' time. That wraps up the show for this week. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by following us on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors and at Statesman33. Check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au, and search us on Facebook as well. Search The Draft Doctors there. Thank you very much. It's going to be a long week with the Anzac Day round this week going into Wednesday. So good luck to your matchups, and we'll see you next week.
And when are we going to release our show next week?
Monday.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.